The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Glad to be with us, SB Nation Radio, on a Thursday. A Pittsburgh Steelers general manager, Kevin Colbert, says this is Ben Roethlisberger's team, and he can pretty much do whatever he wants. He said that Roethlisberger is the unquestioned leader. He is the only Steeler that is still on the roster from their Super Bowl 43 victory over the Arizona Cardinals. He has the right to call out people on radio shows like he did against Antonio Brown after the Broncos loss, where the Bronco game in which they lost in Week 12. He also said that Roethlisberger is the leader. He's got 52 kids underneath him, quite honestly, Colbert said, which I'm sure is going over well with some other players on the Steelers roster who like to be called children. He said, I want them to step up and say, hey, Ben, what do I have to do? How can I do better? What do we have to do to win a Super Bowl? I think that once you win it, you've got 53 guys who can say what it took. All right, listen, I'm totally fine with the leader in the whole locker room thing, but be careful about calling out your teammates on radio shows and giving people carte blanche to do just that. It's like that old line in Jurassic Park that Jeff Goldblum says, you spend so much time thinking whether or not you could, you didn't really think about whether or not you should. When you go on the radio to publicly criticize your teammates, know that there's some ramifications behind that. I would not want, if I was a general manager or an owner or a vice president of operations, I wouldn't want that. I would not want my public shaming of a teammate in any situation. I can speak honestly. I don't mind him if he speaks honestly, saying, boy, we made some mistakes here or there, and I'm to blame for this or what. But the way Ben Roethlisberger took Antonio Brown out in that radio interview is kind of what led to problems with Antonio Brown down the road. There's going to be some ramifications for that. Now, I think that there was trouble before that. I think there was trouble that led Roethlisberger to be more easily adapt to do that on the radio. Because Roethlisberger in his career has taken a lot of the blame when you're like, I don't know if it's exactly your fault, man. I think somebody else is to blame. But you're being a leader here. You're taking it on your shoulders. That being the case, I'd be very careful, Kevin Colbert. Don't necessarily give the keys to the kingdom to Roethlisberger and what he wants to do. Yes, he's a veteran, but other veterans have been able to learn restraint from stronger management. Be in stronger management, Kevin Colbert.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, celebrating 1979. On this date in 1979, two high school girls basketball teams played to a scoreless tie, and then finally the game was settled in the fourth overtime in a 4-2 score. You can only imagine the frustrations of parents on both teams just trying to figure out how to get the ball into the basket just once.
Think at the end of the game, did one team celebrate?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Or do they just go over and be like shaking hands, high-fiving each other, and then long bus ride home, even for the winter?
So it's the 40th anniversary. Is there anybody in Iowa doing a retro, like, let's find some of the players from that game and talk to them?
I don't know. What about, doing a recreation of that game?
Yeah, right? How do you go scoreless? You can go to, like, little kiddie basketball games around the country, and they put the ball in the basket at some point.
Yeah.
Even if, when the hoop is not lowered. Even at 10 feet high, they find a way to put it in the basket at least once. My God. So funny. 0-0 sky. Die. And that's a high school. I mean, that's a high school girls basketball game. It's not like six-year-olds playing. It's a high school girls basketball game. And you might have been on radio at the time. Some guy in the middle of nowhere, Iowa.
Don't say that. Because you imagine,
was on radio.
You imagine doing the play-by-play. That guy was hammered.
And another missed shot. And Aubrey comes down with it. Another turnover. That's the 75th one of the game. I actually lost count a while ago. It's scoreless with 4:13 here in the third on your home for Iowa basketball, Iowa high school hoops.
I guarantee if this was on radio, that guy midway through was rethinking his life.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
air.
Yeah, this might be my final game as I go into the insurance world tomorrow, as I leave this crazy, awful business and go sell insurance for a living, because I can't deal with this anymore. Another missed basket. Holy cow. Can somebody please score? Oh, I bought a scorebook and everything. I can't believe I can't use it in this game.
You would start reminiscing.
At the free throw line. Yeah, exactly.
You would start reminiscing on days past. Maybe girls you dated. Like, I should have called her.
Should have called her. Instead of didn't. Now I'm here. At the free throw line shooting too. Why bother? It didn't even come close to the rim. Oh, boy. They're giving her another chance. Holy cow. Oh, boy. She puts it up. No one even close. Oh, just hits the bottom of the net. It's scoreless here in the fourth. Oh, gosh.
You try
to get excited towards the end. Like, a minute to play. A scoreless tie. Why am I even doing this? Dumb.
At some point, he just yells out, takes the microphone away. It hits the rim. Count that as a point.
Just count that, please. I got to go home. I got to get out of here. Oh, my God. Before we get back to Zion Williamson, did you hear this Trevor Bauer story? Is Trevor Bauer my new favorite player?
I think he might be. He's probably getting another number one in Houston, by the way.
Sports Illustrated. Oh, I know. Oh, without a doubt. Sports Illustrated has a feature piece coming up on him. Now, if you remember, Trevor Bauer got into this bullying thing with this girl from one of the colleges down in Texas, where she liked Alex Bregman and she said Trevor Bauer was her least favorite player. So he naturally trolled her on Twitter.
Because what else are you going to do?
Right. Like, he's a big time baseball player and he's equal to a student at some college in Texas. And so he decided to troll her, and not only trolled her, he like dug past into her pictures and tweets from when she was younger and found out she was drinking underage and shamed her for that because she made some comments. I mean, he really did a number on that girl. But anyway, in this piece, listen to this. Because if you're a young lady and you're thinking about landing Trevor Bauer as a catch because he's a rich baseball player, listen to this. Bauer said that in relationships, he has three rules. One, no feelings. As soon as I sense you're developing feelings, I'm going to cut it off because I'm not interested in a relationship and I am emotionally unavailable. Oh, boy. Two, no social media posts about me while we're together because private life stays private. Three, and this is the doozy, I sleep with other people, and I'm going to continue to sleep with other people, and if you're not okay with that, we won't sleep together, and that's perfectly fine. We can just be polite, platonic friends. Okay, can I just make this point about this? Because this sounds really awful. But is he saying what a lot of professional athletes say to themselves but don't say publicly? I don't see anything here that other athletes don't do in real life. I don't see, like, I see athletes going, listen, I'll date you, but I'm not falling in love with you. Are you kidding me? I'm young and rich and famous. I'm not settling down.
I'm in a different city each week.
Yeah. Two, that social media thing, that happens. Guys say that all the time. Are you kidding? Guys say that all the time.
No, Derek Jeter had a rule. Check your phone at the door.
Check your phone at the door, right? You'd get it. You're not going to take pictures of me in this house or anything else, right? You,
And young ladies, you'll get a nice gift basket, but you ain't taking pictures. No, you are not.
Didn't one of them get two?
Yeah, one of them did get two. And that's why I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's how we knew about the gift basket thing, is because she went public and said, he gave me another one.
That's
He gave me another one. I got two of these things. And then three, listen, I think he's standing publicly what a lot of these guys do anyway, right? He's going to sleep with a lot of people, and that's just the way it is. Don't think you're tying me down, because I'm not going to get tied down. So, listen, on the surface, this sounds very jerkish.
It sounds extremely shallow.
Very shallow. But on the flip side, I wonder if there are athletes reading this going, yep, exactly. He's 100% right. This is exactly how I live my life, but I would never put this in print.
No, I bet. I had in a former life, I taught school. And one of my kid's parents was a professional baseball player. I'll leave his name out of it. And he was a professional baseball player. His wife would not let him go anywhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
They went to all the road games because he was an attractive guy, and she knew. She's like, there's a lot of cleat chasers out there, and baseball players, I think, are more susceptible to it than, say, football players. Maybe not as much as basketball players, because I think with football players, it's a grind to go to travel to a city, because then you immediately are practicing. You don't really have a lot of downtime as a football player.
Well, and the road games are quick. You are leaving town right as soon as the game is over. Like, you're on the – you land, like, the day before. You leave the next day. In baseball, you're in a city for 3 days. My wife worked with a very attractive girl in Colorado, and she met a Dodger player in a bar, and she didn't believe him. Because he was bragging, he was a baseball player, right? And she didn't believe him. She said, oh, yeah, I'm sure that's what they all say. And he gave her $100. And he said, if you go to Coors Field tomorrow, there'll be a ticket waiting for you. And then give me the $100 back. And she went to the game, and she sat in the seat, and he came over to her, and he told her to keep the $100. But that was, she was like, now, then she got in. She was interested, right? Now she was like, oh, my God, he's telling me the truth the whole time. And he has my number and all that stuff. And she was really excited, and she told people at the office, like, she met this baseball player. Yeah, because he was there for 3 days.
Yep.
He's in the hotel. He's hanging out at night, right? I mean, I've covered so many baseball games where I knew the guys that I – because I was used to go to the away locker room all the time, and I would go to the away locker room, and I knew those guys couldn't wait to get out of there. And just be like, listen, I'm done for the day, and I'm – just tell me what you want, and I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm putting on these clothes, and I'm getting out of here, and I'm going over there.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's a great movie, but Kevin Costner's For Love of the Game perfectly highlights – what that whole lifestyle is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it doesn't even – they're not even – sometimes they'll go out to dinner or things like that, but it's just what they're doing in the hotel bar.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's a party atmosphere. Even when you get down to the hotel bar, it's just like, let's just – you know, we're just going to kick back, have a few drinks. Because baseball players, I mean, you know, for them, it's like, well, we don't have to be at the ballpark until like 2 tomorrow.
Yep. And we're staying at a 5-star resort. We all have rooms to ourselves.
Yep.
I mean, what else do you think a 22-year-old kid's going to do? 24-year-old kid is going to do?
So, yeah,
when he's got money and time.
He's right in saying what he said, but God, does it come off shallow.
Yeah, you cannot. That's the thing. You can't say these things. This is why, God bless him, this is why Derek Jeter is popular. Derek Jeter was, you know, he was a hound dog, man. He was, right? I mean,
he was the most eligible bachelor in New York City.
But did he say anything about it? Did he brag about it? Did he put it out in print? Did he let you know his No, he didn't. He just went, listen, I get to live this way. Some of you are jealous. Some of you, you know, are glad to be married at 24 with 4 kids. This is how I live my life. And I'm not saying a word about it. And no one is saying a word about it. There was, like, even at a young age, and this is where Derek Jeter's sort of presence, even when he was young and had no business demanding that kind of respect, right? Just got into the league, was rookie of the year and everything, but still was very young in the New York social scene. If you were a club and you somehow got to people's attention that Derek Jeter showed up at the club, he would not go back to that club. Like, he was very adamant about that. He was, and so he owned the city in that regard. You had to be very careful when Derek Jeter came to your place, because you don't tell anybody, because that's the way he likes it. Trevor Bauer is basically like, here, I'm here. This is what I am. This is what I do. Girls, don't get attached. I'm not getting attached back. Don't tell people you're dating me because I like to stay private. And three, I'm going to be with other girls and you better like it or not like it. I couldn't care less.
Now, the only problem I see in his plan, and maybe he doesn't care, is just the type of woman that will.
Yeah,
now,
right.
Because now this is out open. You know, the ones he's going to get, I'd be almost afraid. I would be almost afraid.
Very true.
Because you're going to get all the crazies.
Yeah, nuts.
You're going to get
absolute
all the
nuts.
You're going to get the ones who, you know, who are just like you, you know, love them, leave them, and, you know, type of personality. Or you're going to get the ones saying, no, I'll change them. Watch.
He says also in the article, he wants to be a billionaire, not for any other reason than I just to say I did it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
admirable goal.
That shows a little, you know, that goes along with the immaturity of berating a college student.
Yeah. I mean, he really was rude with that.
Oh,
he was
terrible.
Really terrible with that.
And that's why I say he's public enemy number one in Houston.
Sure, he should be.
Because, I mean, it was that scenario. It was also the scenario of him saying that all the Houston pitchers are doctoring their pitch somehow, some way.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, Garrett Cole, you know, has had a mediocre career, and then he's like lights out when he gets to Houston.
Oh,
it has to be, you know, he has to be doing something to doctor the ball.
Well, I thought I'd give you a little bit of the Trevor Bauer news of the day. Might be fun for the rest of the season how this goes. Well, we shall see. Coming up, Zion Williamson. Should he call it a Duke career? We'll discuss that next on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This was actually a hit in 1979 on the charts?
Number 17 this week.
Blues Brothers, Soul Man, really? That is great.
I saw that, I'm like, guarantee this one
absolutely
will be played.
Absolutely, heck yeah. Golly, celebrating 1979 Throwback Thursday. That is great. I didn't think it was a hit. I thought it was a good song, but I didn't think it was like a record hit.
Great awesome. Movie.
Good movie, right? Really good movie.
Made me want to drive a car through a mall.
I was very, very, very young when that movie came out. Was that movie as iconic then as it is now? Like right now, everybody remembers it very fondly. Did people like it then when it came out?
I think it was popular because, I mean, it was around that, you know, same era, like when Animal House was coming out. You know,
right.
there was a that SNL cast were making fun movies. I think it's more nostalgic today or more iconic
I think so
today.
Too. That's what happens with movies, right? At the time, like if you Wikipedia some movies, you'll see like, oh, it was met with mixed reviews. And then you realize, man, that was because back then a movie was a movie. It didn't have any other context than what it was on the screen. But what time does and nostalgia does is it takes some movies that may have been okay back when it was released and turns them into these amazing, amazing things that people remember and love and are fond of and just adore and watch over and over again and sort of wax poetically about. Whereas maybe at the time it wasn't seen like that. Maybe it was seen as, not as good, but over time it became a classic.
This is 1980 numbers, obviously. But it made little over 57 million at the box office.
Now, I'm just guessing. That seems like a lot for 1980. So I'm assuming it was a popular movie.
Their budget was 27. Opening weekend was just shy of 4.9 million.
Okay. That's pretty good.
I mean, not bad.
Not bad.
But yeah, I think it has more lasting power today than it
did
then.
I do too. All right, so Zion Williamson, 36 seconds into the game, blew out a shoe. Mild knee sprain. Coach K, what is that, mild knee sprain? Wouldn't Coach K say that if he was about ready to lose his leg?
Well, it's a mild knee sprain. We anticipate him coming back and being part of our team at some point.
Like, meanwhile, he's like, oh, great, we've just lost Zion Williamson forever. I just killed this guy's NBA career. No matter what happened, I mean, he might be back walking by Saturday. Who knows? Not playing for a while, but, you know, who knows? But if you're Zion Williamson, do you call it a career or do you get back as quickly as possible and ride this thing out to a championship?
Do you say to Duke, thanks, but no thanks? Or do you say, no, I'm going to get back as quickly as possible, and I came here for a reason, and if I'm here, I'm enjoying the culture, I'm enjoying college basketball, and play it out. I'd play it out if I was Zion Williamson, but I also would say, I don't blame you if you want to take a vacation. You want to disappear for a while. You've already done it, big man. You've already earned the number one pick in the draft. The Knicks are going to take you when they rig the lottery so that the Knicks can have the number one pick. You're already going to go to New York. Oh, I say that in jest. Everybody slow down. They don't rig anything, the NBA. Wink, wink. Yo, you can't freeze ping pong balls. That's what they're telling me. Wish you could, but you can't. What do you think about the idea of getting everybody in on the ping pong ball conspiracy so that the people like from the whatever agency that goes to monitor it to see if it's fair, they're all in on the whole thing. They're like, no matter what that ping pong ball says, it's 15. You're like, oh, 15. And then you play it out the code, and then it comes out to be whatever code the Knicks get for the number one pick in the draft. And then Zion Williamson becomes a Knick, and everybody's happy.
I mean, there is a way to fix it, right? I mean, Cleveland got the number one pick, and they used ping pong balls after the year after LeBron leaves.
They got the number one pick the year after LeBron leaves, and then they got the number one pick again, right? Then they get the pick the second year in a row?
Yeah, now I get that, you know, they had more ping pong balls in the mix, but still.
True. It is a very bizarre situation. I remember when I was a young lad, that's why the whole David Stern conspiracy of the Knicks was he would reach into a bag of, like, a thing of envelopes. See, young, those of you young enough to not know of this, the NBA draft lottery, it didn't matter how many wins or losses you had. If you were a lottery team, you got an envelope in a bin and they would turn it. So there was no, well, they have a better chance, they have a worse chance. No, everybody had the same chance to win it. And like one year, the Celtics had the number two pick in the draft. They picked Len Bias, who passed away. But the Sixers had the number one pick ahead of them because of a trade. And the Celtics had the number two pick after winning the NBA Finals. So in 1985, Patrick Ewing was coming out of the draft, and David Stern picked out the Knicks for the number one pick, picked the Knicks envelope. And there's been all sorts of crazy theories that the envelope had a crease in it, and that signaled to David Stern which envelope to pick. They also said that that envelope was put in a freezer and it was colder, so that's the envelope David Stern was picking. I mean, literally, as crazy as these sounds, they're legit. They're like, because nobody, how do you tell if the thing was cold? Like, how can you see if the thing was cold? So what happened was Orlando ended up getting back-to-back first-round picks, and they got Penny Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal, and people went, okay, wait a minute. We got to do something. So they started kind of weighting your losses. So they would have the ping pong balls so that if you had the worst record in the NBA, you'd have a better chance of getting the number one pick than the team that just barely missed out on the playoffs. And so what they did was basically the way the draft lottery works is the ping pong balls come up. It produces a 4-digit code, I think, or 5-digit code. It's like the lottery, and then that code coordinates with that team. So you look at the number and you find out which team has that number, and that's the team who wins. That's the team who gets the pick, and they just go through the whole thing that way. So you have a better chance, obviously, the more you lose. So yes, is it more difficult today to rig the NBA lottery than it was, you know, when David Stern picked out the frozen envelope? Yeah. By the way, that's the only real sports conspiracy theory I believe. I still believe that. There is no way David Stern, that was all by chance. There's no way. That was absolutely rigged so the Knicks could get Patrick Ewing. The Knicks desperately needed Patrick Ewing, and Patrick Ewing desperately needed to be in New York. This was a different time in the NBA. You needed the big market teams to be good. You needed Boston, LA, New York, Chicago. You needed the big cities to be good. And so I believe it. There's other conspiracy theories I laugh at when I hear people say, oh, the Major League Baseball is rigging the World Series. I don't buy that. I think it's impossible to do. I think those are impossible to do. When you're talking about competitive athletes, it's impossible. But when it comes to something like that, where all it took was just tell him where the stupid envelope is. He's reaching his hand into a bin. Tell him where the envelope is.
I don't know if that's the only sports conspiracy theory, because I do believe in the Michael Jordan one too.
I did for years.
I know you've pleaded your case, but I
changed on this. I believed that forever. I mean, ever. Because when somebody laid that out to me, the Jordan gambling conspiracy, that made complete sense to me. When I started really thinking about it, I went, that's exactly what David Stern would do if a star player. We just got done with Pete Rose in baseball, right? Can't play baseball anymore, Pete. Can't be in baseball anymore, Pete. You gambled. And Pete's, and it's a black mark on baseball that's all-time hit leader, isn't in the Hall of Fame, and was banned for baseball for gambling. So imagine if you're David Stern and you've got Michael Jordan, who's a notorious gambler, and he's got caught up in the wrong people. Now remember, you don't have to bet on baseball or against your team. The problem that sports has is they worry about the guy who's gambling anyway, because they don't know who you're gambling with and they don't know how much you're into them for. And therefore, the integrity of the game can be called into question if they were to call in a favor. Because even if you're rich, if somebody says, hey, do this, this, and this, and we'll relieve you of your $3 million gambling debt, you're more apt to do that. So if you're David Stern and you've got a notorious gambler like Michael Jordan and he's your best player, and he's not only your best player, but he's the greatest, you know, one of the greatest players of all time, you wouldn't suspend him. You'd say, can you disappear for a little bit? And what better way to go to than to go down and play some minor league baseball like you always thought of and then come back later. But here's why I changed. Jordan rides the bus. The 30 for 30 Jordan rides the bus, documenting Jordan's every single day. Everyone who talked about it was very, very adamant that this was not true. But then maybe it is.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, the bad, the dumb. Couldn't we all put that in the game last night? The good North Carolina, the bad Williamson out, the dumb watching a stock of a sneaker company immediately after the aftermath?
I think we could do that in a lot of different things.
You know? Yeah.
But definitely us.
Definitely last terrible. Night. Really awful.
What was the good, though?
Of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, North Carolina winning.
Duke may disagree.
Duke would disagree. But it is kind of cool to see all those people that paid big money and then watching North Carolina win that game.
Very true.
It's not like Duke rallied. Or, you know, let's rally around Williamson. Let's win this for Zion. North Carolina's like, nah, you don't have any interior presence, so we're just going to score all day in the paint. Well done. Well done, Tar Heels. All right, the good in this good, bad, the ugly
today. Good. It's not so much... I'm kind of prefacing, predicting something that should happen. And it may not ever happen, but my good today is John Daly needs to have his own show.
Yes, he does. He's phenomenal. I love him.
He is. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because just recently, Vijay Singh, is that how you
Yeah, Vijay Singh, sure. 2000 Masters champion. Yeah.
He recently posted a video of himself working out, staying in shape, you know, doing what he needs to do to... still try to, I guess, you know, be relevant on the tour. John Daly followed up with his own workout video.
What did he do? Pick up a beer can? I shouldn't say that. I think he's a recovering alcoholic. So
you know what? Yeah. there is.
Sorry, John.
There are video images of him on a treadmill with the trainer holding a cheeseburger.
Good for him.
Sit-ups with the cigarette, obviously.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I mean, you know, just doing what every man needs to do.
This
every
guy,
common man.
John Daly is immensely popular. Immensely popular. And it's so cool because he has had a real roller coaster life, man. He has really had a roller coaster life. But he is really popular. His son is a really good golfer.
Yes.
Like, his son is like 14. 15 years old, I think. He's a very good golfer.
And that's why I think we need to have just... Golf Channel needs to say, you know what, let's... I know we might get some backlash from this because, you know, they got to be... There's a lot of stuffy people who probably watch the Golf Channel. And
probably.
But I can't think of a better channel than to have someone, you know, just follow John Daly around with the camera crew. 24 hours great. A day, 7 days a week.
He's really beloved by the guys on tour. He's beloved by fans. People genuinely liked it when he succeeds. And he's remember this. This is what's great about John Daly. When you win the British Open, they invite you to the British Open until you're like 60, 65 years old. And Daly won this thing. And that means every year he goes, he wears those pants, like American pants, which are just funny. He gets to be a part of that every year until he's like 60, 65 years old. Because he's a British Open champion.
Yeah, doesn't he also, I mean, he always goes to the Masters. He never goes to
he doesn't get to play. Does he get to play? Yeah.
But he sits outside an RV, yep. like in the parking lot.
Signs autographs, like Hooters autographs. And stuff. Yeah, he's fantastic. He's fantastic.
So, I mean, I want to follow him around. I mean, you think of the success of like the Osbournes, where they're followed around Ozzy Osbourne. That's who I think John Daly could be.
I agree.
He could totally be golf's version of Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, and especially like Little John's golf career, that'd be kind of cool.
Just follow it around.
Yeah, he's doing some good.
Because I'm certain
his kid is going to do some good things.
Yeah, I'm certain he's a really good dad.
Yeah, I think he is. But I mean, I don't know. But I'm speculating,
because with the sense of humor of him being on a treadmill chasing a cheeseburger, he's like, you got to
perfect.
You got to be all about your kids at that point.
I agree. Yeah, I love John Daly. I'm a big fan. So. All right, the bad
this week. Has your mom ever embarrassed you?
Yes.
I mean, countless times.
Sure.
Has she embarrassed you via social media?
No, because I'm very much beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, we that's something we definitely have in common. And I don't know how younger, kids, these millennials today, if their parents embarrass them on social media. But there's one mom who, I guess you could say she's embarrassing her son. Well, her son is embarrassed by what she is doing on social media. Let me put it that way. Yeah, an Italian soccer star is begging his mom to stop posting sexy photos of herself on Instagram.
This is great. So, but real quick, how hot is the mom?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm giving her a solid 8, maybe 9.
Really? She's that good looking.
She is an attractive woman.
Okay, you know what I would do if I was the mother? I'd say I'm flaunting this because it's going to go away someday, and while I have it, sorry, but this is how I roll.
Yeah, I find it hysterical.
I think it's great. Good for her. She shouldn't stop. I don't care what the soccer star says.
Don't stop. She just needs to keep going with it because, I mean, this is fantastic.
So what if you were embarrassed? Keep rolling with it. That's awesome. Yeah. Good for her.
Nicolo Zaniolo. Zaniolo. I'm butchering that name.
That's all right. You gave it a good try.
His mom is 41. I'm sending you the article so you can see a picture of her.
Wait a minute. How old is the soccer player?
19.
Oh, 19. So she had him when he was very young.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to find where's the picture? There we go. We got to find the pictures. The Twitter link.
I'm going to take a look.
Yeah, she is an attractive person.
All right.
And, she needs to just keep posting photos of herself. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know what? You're 41. You can flaunt it. It's okay. You're allowed to do that. 19-year-old son, you will understand it someday.
Yeah, you will understand it someday. All right. The ugly.
The dumb.
Oh, the dumb. I'm sorry. Yeah,
the dumb.
Why did I say ugly?
I don't know. I don't know why you said ugly. Well, because you said the good, the bad, the ugly.
But the good, the bad, the ugly. That's right.
The good, the bad, the dumb. This could also be really bad. But did you know there's a new social media challenge out there in the universe?
No, I don't like these. Okay, but tell me what it is. I don't like these.
This one, and it's being Indiana teens are really taking to storm with it. And I just want to go and smack every single one that ever does this. It's called the 48-hour challenge. Okay, basically what the 48-hour challenge is, it encourages teens to go missing for 2 days. And they're awarded points for every social media mention.
Okay, this has got to stop. Okay, this has got to stop. That's very dangerous.
I mean,
and I'm really glad you're bringing this to attention because I never heard of this, but this is really bad because I'm going to get on a soapbox here for a second.
That's fine.
I promise you guys, I never get political. I don't go into political world, but there's that story of that actor, in Chicago who faked that attack.
Right.
And he's getting arrested because one of the reasons he's getting arrested is because he filed a false police report. And also he used the resources. Okay. Now, if I'm a parent and my kid's missing for 2 days, and they're purposely being missing for 2 days, I'm not going to get arrested for using police resources, but it's still wrong to use police resources, right? It is still wrong for me, for you to force me to call a detective to look for clues to find you when you are being, you're being missing on purpose as a social media joke.
Yeah. Now you may not get
arrested. Running away from your family because you live in a bad household, but you're using up police resources for people who are really missing, who are really needing help, who are really needing people to look after them. This is a terrible, 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 terrible challenge.
Listen, I get, I was all about the ALS bucket challenge.
Me too.
I thought that, I mean,
but still,
harmless fun. It was fun,
but at the same time, right? You could still give money to it without doing the challenge, right?
Well, it was that. It was either either donate or do the challenge,
right?
And it was harmless,
these are all
fun,
scary.
And one of the other side benefits of the ALS bucket challenge is that you got to see the funny ones. You know, people dropping the bucket on top of someone's head, and you know, like, oh, I dropped it, and it's just a gigantic metal bucket. Yeah. Smack! I laugh, but this one, I mean, yeah, you know what? As a parent, you may not get arrested. You're going to get fined.
Yeah, you're going to get fined.
If it turns out that this whole thing is a hoax, you're going to get fined.
And the other problem that you have with this is that you can't – society tends to look away. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about society as a whole. We tend to look away the more that we cry wolf, more and more people cry wolf. What people are having a problem with that actor is there may be a real situation where somebody is really attacked for being African-American or gay or whatever, and we as a society will no longer believe those people because we've been burned too many times. So
right.
The more times you cry wolf, the more times we as a society say, oh, whatever, you're faking it. So in this challenge, the reason that this challenge is dangerous is because again, oh, yeah, oh, they found him? Oh, really? It was just the game? And how many times are we going to hear that when the critical part of a missing person is in the first 24 to 48 hours? If we as a society, again, not individuals, because parents are going to do whatever they have to do, but we as a society go, ah, screw it. I don't, just another one of those kid hoax. Another one of those kids games. Let me know in a week if they're still not there. But the critical moment is the first 48 hours to find this, to find the individual. Ah, this is, we are such a crazy, we're a weird society. Really weird. How about 48, I don't know, how about the 48-hour challenge where you do your chores and you know, do everything your parents ask you to? Am I being too old-fashioned with that? Go down that road. Like, I don't know, how about mow the lawn without me asking? Or do the dishes without me telling you to do it twice? How about that challenge? Can we make one of those? Oh, man. I'm glad you brought that up, though. That I feel like we did a little social service. That was a good one. All right, 800-777-2907. It is the good and the bad and the dumb and another day for Thursday. Coming up next, Tony Romo got invited to play golf in Dallas. But should he go? I'll tell you what it was and what he should be doing next on SB Nation AM.
On a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us, and he began to speak.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This is Kenny Rogers as we celebrate 1979. Again, on this date in 1979, two high school girls' basketball teams played to a 0-0 tie. The game was 4-2 in four overtimes, and we thought that was humorous. If you want to see a good, funny rendition of this song, Google Kenny Rogers, The Gambler, Muppet Show. This, he performed this on The Muppet Show, and it was really good puppetry by the Muppet people on this. Muppet Show was a big, big, cool way celebrities would get on TV. So Tony Romo's gotten invited, got a sponsor's exemption to play in the AT&T Byron Nelson coming up in May in Dallas. Oh, and he's hearing about it from people who are writing columns that this is a disgrace. He should give this up to another younger player or some struggling tour pro who would use this sponsorship exemption better than Romo would when he comes in last in this tournament. Let me enlighten some people here. Sponsor's exemptions mean just that. They're an exemption by the sponsor. Sponsors pay big money for this, so they get to bring in whoever they want. And Romo is a good enough golfer. Now, they don't give it to usually hacks, you know, like I couldn't get a sponsor's exemption to play on the PGA Tour, okay? Even if I was a good amateur, I have to have some sort of celebrity. I can draw tickets. I have to have some sort of ability to play golf because I am going to be playing in the tournament. I'm not going to be playing in the pro-am. I'm going to be playing in the tournament. So I'm going to be paired up with a pro who's going to expect some sort of decor. Romo meets these criterias. He is a accomplished amateur. He is a good golfer. He's not a pro golfer, but he's a good amateur. He's also knows the game. He knows how to get around a golf course. He knows the rules and etiquette of the golf course. He's not going to embarrass himself when he talks in somebody's backswing or he walks in somebody's line on the green. You have to have some sort of qualification, but if you meet those and you're a celebrity, especially a local celebrity, you're going to get a sponsorship exemption because that's how they make even more money. You know, Romo is going to get to do something very, very few athletes get to do. Right, they don't give sponsors exemptions to NBA players who can just play golf. I mean, you gotta have some accomplishments in the game. And Romo's got some accomplishments in the game. And listen, I get it. Golf is a grind, and it's awful, and it's one of those professions that if I could have any choice of being a professional athlete in any sport, there's the emotional side of me that would want to be a NFL quarterback or a slugger in Major League Baseball. But the practical side of me would be professional golfer. Cause if you're successful at that, there is really no better lifestyle. The travel is great. You're doing it luxurious, but when you're not on that level, when you're not doing private jets, when you're not doing five-star hotels, steak every night, you know, that kind of thing. It's a grind, and the pressure is incredible. And sometimes these exemptions give these guys just enough kick in their career to help take off and to become, you know, a good earner on the PGA Tour. But Romo is under no obligation for this. He's under no obligation to give this up. When people say he should be ashamed of himself for taking this, no, he shouldn't. The sponsor gave it to him. The sponsor may not give it to anybody. The sponsor is under no obligation to give a sponsorship exemption to anyone. They don't have to. It's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want. Give it to Romo because it generates interest in the tournament, generates buzz around the tournament. That's what you do it for. You find somebody that meets the criteria, and Tony Romo does, and then you give him the sponsorship exemption. But listen, Jordan Spieth, when he was 16 years old, got a sponsorship exemption into this tournament. All right. 16-year-old, good golfer, right? Could have given it to a struggling pro, but they give it to a high school kid. It's not what it's there for. It's there for things like this. Have fun with it. Romo's going to come in last. He's probably going to shoot 50 over par. Who knows? He's a good golfer, but he ain't a PGA Tour pro. And this is a PGA Tour event, PGA Tour setup. But nevertheless, get off Romo's back. He's had a very good football season. It's going to parlay this into this one cool May outing in golf. Everybody chill out. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. It's Tony D and Ron Culver as we move along on a Thursday, a throwback Thursday on SB Nation Radio.